All right. Good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. Good to be in church. Thankful for church. I spoke about it on Sunday. I need church, so I'm thankful to be here tonight. Before we get started, Mass, Brother Ralph, would you open us up with a word of prayer?
Lord, we thank you for a good evening. We thank you for each one who was able to be here tonight. I pray for those who could not be here, that you would just bring comfort and strength to each one. For those who are struggling physically, you would encourage and strengthen each one. For those who are away from us traveling, I pray that you give safety. And for those who can't be here because of work, that you would give them a good evening and help them to do their best for your honor and glory. Pray that you would guide and direct in the service tonight. Be with Pastor as he preaches the word. You would give him what you would have for us. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. If you would, I ask you to stand with me and turn to page 175. Page 175, there is a fountain.
Lose all their guilty
598. We're going to sing Standing on the Premises, or Promises. It's funny, I heard a preacher once say, you know, you ought to be standing on the promises, not just sitting in the premises.
Hey!
So let's sing this like we're standing on God's promises. Page 598. Children. It was a blessing to have the opportunity to translate for Pastor Dima, who spoke at the Tyler's Church. He came with his family from Ukraine to escape the war. It is a blessing to see the Lord working in the church there in Ukraine, despite the pastor being gone at this time. Enjoy the picture of him speaking. We always enjoy our time helping at the Tyler's Church in the city. I was able to teach one of their Wednesday night children's classes. It was encouraging to see the young people's attentiveness. We are also still helping out with translating, music, and the Sunday school class. Christy's English classes are going well. The young ladies are learning and enjoying their times together. Thank you for your continued prayers for our health. I've had some better days as far as migraines go, for which I am so grateful. We are still fighting constant colds and trying different things and doctors' advice to stop them. We had a scare with Corey a few weeks ago when he woke up in the middle of the night with severe abdominal pain. He was writhing and screaming in pain. We called an ambulance, but by the time they got here, he was better. They said to call again if he had any more problems. About 20 minutes later, it happened again, so they came and took him to the emergency room. After many tests, the doctor diagnosed him with an enlarged lymph node in his abdomen from the cold virus. We are so grateful it was not more serious, though we really would love We are so grateful it was not more serious, though we really would love to not have to visit the hospital anymore. There we go, got through it. Still, it was another opportunity to witness and share tracks with people. Christy has been doing well, and the medication reduction has gone well. So well that at her last neurologist appointment, Dr. Seku, the neurologist, said that she can reduce it just a tiny bit more this week. He said she is looking better. We invited Dr. Seku to come to the Easter Sunday service. Please continue to pray for our physical health. Though we know the Lord works through illness, our desire is that our health will be a help, not a hindrance, in the Lord's service. The services with our people continue to go well and be a blessing. Mariana is still dealing with different health issues that hinder her from coming to some of the services. It seems so many of God's children are suffering physically lately. I believe he wants his church to wake up and trust and obey him, no matter what trials and blessings we go through. Mariana testified that God has worked on her heart and taught her lessons through this trial of sickness. For one of our services, I was feeling unable to preach due to a cough, but God turned that trial into a blessing. For the first time since his heart attack 3 years ago, Dad got a message ready and preached to our people. He did very well, and we are praising the Lord. Enjoy the picture of that special time. Isabella, Gina's granddaughter, and Alberto, Mariana's grandson, have come to some of the children's classes. It is a blessing to see them learning. We pray for their salvation as well as Ion's. Thank you so much for your prayers for us and our ministry. We are grateful for you and your part in this work. In his service, Jonathan, Christy, Corey, and Marcy. All right. Our final song, we're going to sing page 417. If you're able, I ask you to please stand with me. Page 417, It Is Well With My Soul.
It is well with my soul. Our speakers are working tonight.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Thank you again to Miss Kathy for all her hard work trying to figure out this problem.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. So before I go into preaching tonight, I want to let everyone know now, and I'll probably bring it up again Sunday. We're now, Lord willing, starting May 1st. We will be supporting missionaries, actually 10 of them. Lord willing, at $25 a piece. We got a box back there that says missions. So anything you put in there will go to missions and our support of them. I'm doing it a way to where it's not how you would say to most missionaries that it's a oncurring thing. If the money's there, it's going to go to them. If not, then we don't send it to them. But Lord willing, it'll be $25 a month to 10 missionaries. Brother Allen and Cheryl McFall over there in Kyrgyzstan in the orphanage. Brother Lee and Kelly Cadenhead to Zimbabwe. Brother Anil and Delphia Javid to Pakistan. Brother John and Dixie Sasser, who were here like last year, to the Jews in Israel. Hannah and Rob and Reno to Brazil. Gina Fry to Zambia. Jonathan and Christy Heisey, who we read their prayer letter tonight. Please keep them in prayer there in Romania. Any missionaries there in Romania, Bulgaria, Moldova, right along the borders there or near, close by to Ukraine. Just keep those missionaries in prayer as well. Brian and Clarissa, they were here a few months ago. They're missionaries to the Jews. Eric and Andre Fair, I've known Eric since he was a little kid. His dad was a missionary to Papua New Guinea. He's also over there with his wife now in Papua New Guinea. And then Brian and Angela Pratt, they're missionaries to India. So right now, those are the 10 that we'll be supporting. I'd like to, as we see how things go over the next couple months, to be able to take on more as the Lord allows. But again, if you'd like to support missions, the white box is back there, and all those funds go directly to, or will go directly to these missionaries here that I mentioned. Please just keep them in prayer, and also the other missionaries that are out there in the field doing the Lord's work in foreign countries. It's not an easy task nowadays with everything that's going on in the world, so please keep them in your prayer. If you take your Bibles tonight, we're going to continue on with what we were looking at last week, starting our study here in the book of Jonah. So if you look over at the book of Jonah this evening again, we'll continue on with what we were looking at. Let me get there myself. So Bible says here tonight, Jonah chapter 1, the Bible says, Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Okay, we mentioned last week how Nineveh is not a Jewish city. It's a city of Assyria. Some think it was the capital of Assyria. At this point, they're in great wickedness. It was a great city back then, a very great city, a very large city. But God, the cry of the wickedness has come up before the Lord, and God hears it, and he decides to send Noah over there to preach unto them. The Bible says in verse 3, But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him, and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, and that we perish not. And they said, Every one to his fellow, Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your goodness, Lord, for the opportunity to be in church tonight. Thank you for your word. I pray you'd open our eyes and our ears and our hearts to receive what you'd have us to receive tonight, Lord, that we would draw closer to you and give you the glory and honor you deserve. We pray these things now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. So we looked last week here, Jonah's running from God. He's running from the presence of the Lord. It's mentioned twice there in verse number 3. I said it last week as we get into this as a review here. Why would you want to run from the presence of God? There's only a couple reasons why you'd want to run from the presence of God. Well, maybe because there's something going on in your life that you don't want God dealing with you about. And we're going to see this as we study through Jonah. I believe God, not only is God trying to get help his word to Nineveh to repent and turn to him and repent of their wickedness, but I believe God also in this instance is trying to do something for Jonah. Okay? God's trying to do something for Jonah. I believe while we come to church, one of the reasons I believe we come to church is for edification, for perfection. As Christians, I believe we come to church, and I believe it's a pastor's job or whoever's preaching and teaching, that they ought to preach and teach in order to edify and help the saints to come to perfection. And what I mean by perfection is not sinless perfection in the sense that in his body, in his flesh, we can obtain sinless perfection. I don't believe that. I believe the soul and the spirit's perfect in God and been made new, born again of God. But we still got this flesh to deal with. But a perfection in the sense of becoming a complete Christian. A complete Christian. A Christian that is closer to God than he was yesterday. A Christian that shows more grace today than he did yesterday. A Christian that is more long-suffering today than he was or she was yesterday. Growing in perfection. Growing in the things of God. Growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Okay? So Jonah here, he's running from the presence of God. He doesn't want to do what God's saying. And as we looked at last week, as he runs from God, we see that he just goes down, down, and down as he runs from the Lord. Now, look back over here in Jonah chapter 1. And look at verse number 4 real quick. Jonah 1:4. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Okay, the ship was like to be broken. Now, who sent this wind? God sent this wind. God sent this wind to get, I believe, as I study this even further, not only just to get Jonah's attention, but to also get these mariners' attention. All right, God's doing, brethren, I forget who I was talking to this evening about this. Well, maybe I wasn't. I'm losing my mind, so just bear with me tonight. We can't understand God's ways. There could be one situation, and in that one situation, God is doing 10 different things in 10 different people's lives with that one situation. Completely opposite of the other individual, the same situation, but God's accomplishing 10 different things by one situation. And so when you look at it and you say, well, let me figure out why God's doing this, we may never know why God's doing it completely. And what we have to realize is God doesn't need our approval to do anything. He is the owner of everything, and God can do whatever God wants to do. But we see in this situation here, I believe that not only is the Lord doing something for Jonah to try to get Jonah to see something about Jonah, but I believe God's also trying to do something here for these mariners. And we're going to see this as we go on. But as Jonah goes down into that ship, he goes down to Joppa. Now, Joppa is a seacoast town of Israel. It's a seacoast town of Israel. It's in the tribe of Dan. It's right there on the Mediterranean Sea. It's a Jewish town. And I began to wonder as I read through this, are these Jewish mariners? I don't want to get ahead of myself here, but these very well could be Jews that have just turned their back completely on God and are now serving their own gods, as the Bible shows us. Or they could be men that are just passing through because it's a seaport town, because they're going back to Tarshish, which I said last week is maybe in Spain. So they might be Spaniards. Who knows? But the Bible says here that God brought the wind in. And as God brought the wind in, it's affecting everybody. It's affecting everybody on that ship. Who's the one doing wrong? Jonah. Who is this wind for? Jonah. But who's it affecting? Everybody on that ship. Everybody on that ship is being affected by one man who's choosing to run from God. The consequences because of one man's running from God is not only affecting that man, who also seems to not care about it, but it's also affecting others on that ship, which we looked at last week. If someone we know, I talked about this last week, as this wind comes in, the mariners, now think about this for a moment. These are mariners, they're on the ship, they leave port, they go. We don't know how far out they're in the Mediterranean. All of a sudden, this wind comes in from God. The Bible says the Lord sent out a great wind to the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. This wind is so great, I believe it's now pushing this ship off course. It's not only pushing it off course, it's now like there's the Bible saying it's like to be broken. This wind is so bad that the sailors think my ship is getting ready to be broken. That's how bad this wind is. And this wind is coming from God. So for any Christians out there, now there's a sect of Christians out there that think that nothing bad can ever come from God in a Christian's life. That's false. That is a false doctrine. And here's picture proof of it. And this isn't even a saved, born-again individual. Jonah was a man of God. He was a Jewish man. God sent him. He's a prophet. And because he's running from God, God says, okay, you want to run from me? I'm going to send something your way to hopefully wake you up. You know why? Because God loves him. And sometimes God will put us in situations we're running from that aren't pleasant situations because he's chastising us because he loves us. Any good preacher or pastor is going to tell you the truth because he loves you. And if you're not sinning and doing wrong, then it shouldn't offend you. Does that make sense, brethren? But if it offends you, maybe the pastor's saying it because he loves you and he cares for you and he wants to see what's best for you in your Christian walk with God. Brethren, when I say just a simple statement, I believe believers should be in church. It's for you, because I want what's best for you, for God, for your edification, for your perfection, that you get home to heaven someday and you don't regret it. Open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. You understand? Proverbs. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy, they're deceitful. Who kissed Jesus? Judas. Right? And what did David say? Let the righteous smite me. David said, let the righteous smite me. Brethren, if I say something to your pastors because I love you and I care for you, Not because I'm like, oh yeah, I love just get up and just beat the sheep. No. But there's sometimes a shepherd's got to do some unpleasant things to sheep to save a sheep's life. I was watching some things last night because I find it fascinating. A rancher out in Wyoming, now this wasn't a sheep, but it happens to sheep as well. And this little cow was born. He had a rough birth, and his mother wanted nothing to do with him, basically. So they've been having to give him a formula, basically, to help this cow grow. It's a meat cow, or whatever you call it. Anyway, you see, this little calf, because of the way he's born, this is the second time now he's got bloat. Basically, you could see it. His stomach is bulged out like this, and it's from all the air and fermentation going on within his first stomach. When it ruminates, it builds up those gases. Well, he's not been able to release them, so now his sides and his stomach is basically hard as a rock. And so this rancher was showing how he had to take it down. But the reason I bring this up is this rancher has to do something unpleasant to this calf in order for the calf's life to be saved. The rancher is looking at this calf. This calf is in pain. It doesn't understand. It's got issues going on in its body. And unless the rancher intervenes within 12 to 24 hours, that calf is going to die. And you know what that rancher had to do? He had to take this long tube. And he took it and he wrestled. Get this now, brethren. He wrestled that calf down because that calf was bucking against it. Like, I ain't going down, because he had done it before to him. You ain't doing this to me again. And he's about 100, 150 pounds. So he finally gets him down. He's all out of breath. He's on top of this little calf. And his wife gives him this tube about this long. And it's got a little thing on the end. And he just jams it down that calf's throat. Now, I can tell you, that probably isn't very pleasant. I can imagine what is going through that calf's mind of, oh, I can't even breathe now. You're shoving something down my throat. It's painful. It's uncomfortable. But he's trying to save his life. After he does that, trying to let some of that air come out of there, he then hooks up a tube or a plastic bag to it, kind of like an IV with sodium bicarbonate, some type of mixture he's got in there to help the fermentation go down, and he squeezes it all down that calf's throat, down the stomach, and then he takes some vegetable oil, and they put it in a bag, and they scoot it all the way down in there, and he takes a shot of penicillin and tries to put it in his mouth, and then he gets the calf up, and he's trying to get it to run around. All unpleasant things for this poor calf that's in a bad situation. Why? Because he loves that calf and is trying to save its life. So any good pastor, any good shepherd will do that to somebody. Why? Because he's trying to save your life. Trying to help you not go down a road to where you, in the end, you're going to look back and say, I wish I would have listened. That's a good pastor. That's a good shepherd who will do things that are unpleasant. Because he cares for you. Jonah cares nothing but for himself at this point. This ship's going off course, and it's becoming in a state where it may break, and Jonah's fast asleep downstairs. Not only going off course and a chance here that it might break, look at verse number 5. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God. And look what happened. They cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten them. These men in this ship that are suffering these consequences because of another man's sin and running from God, they're trying to lighten up the ship. They're trying to save the ship, and in doing, trying to save the ship, take these wares and their tools, and they start throwing them into the ocean. They loss of items. You see, our disobedience to the Lord, I mentioned this last week, our disobedience to the Lord may cause others to go off course. Our disobedience and running from God and choosing not to do what God's wanting us to do may cause others to go off course. It may cause others to slow down. This ship is slow. This ship is not doing what it's supposed to be doing right now. This ship is supposed to be going from one port to another port, supposed to be transporting stuff or whatever its purpose is. Right now, whatever the purposes were for this ship, it's not being accomplished. And how many times are there people that might come into our life who are hindering us and causing us and pushing us off course to where God wants us to go and what God wants us to do? They're hindering us. They're breaking us. They're pulling us down. And that's exactly what Jonah is doing to the ship. He is slowing the ship down. He's bringing discouragement to the sailors on the ship. And he's hindering the ship from going forward for their purposes. Not only that, he's causing the ship and those that are on the ship to cast their wares into the ocean or into the Mediterranean Sea. You see, in order for believers to find strength and comfort through a storm, it first needs to check and make sure that there is no sin in their life. So, let me say this, let me back up here a second. These mariners also thought, although through ignorance, get in the mind of these mariners for a second. They're doing this through ignorance. And they're doing it by just because of how they've been trained to do. But they're not dealing with the problem. But they're doing it in ignorance. They don't realize they're not dealing with the problem. They're trying to handle it as any other mariner would handle it, because they're looking through the lens of a mariner's eyes rather than through a spiritual eyesight. This is a spiritual situation on this ship. Think about this for a moment now, brethren. This is a spiritual problem on this ship. This is not a physical problem on this ship. The only reason these problems are happening on this ship is because a man's running from God. But these mariners think that this is just a common storm, a bad common storm, that just rose up in the sea, and now they're trying to handle it by physical measures when it can only be handled by a spiritual thing taking place. Sometimes problems might be going on in our life and we think it's a physical problem, but in reality it might just be a spiritual issue. And this is a spiritual issue on this ship right here. So they're trying to handle it by their own reasonings. You can't handle spiritual situations by your own reasonings and thoughts. Spiritual situations can only be handled by spiritual ways and the Word of God. That's it. So they're casting stuff out of the ship thinking this is going to help the situation. It's not helping the situation at all. You could cast everything out of that ship. That problem's not going to get solved till Jonah's off that boat or gets right with God. They try to lighten the load through their ignorance. This is pure ignorance by the mariners, that the removal of these items on the ship will somehow lighten the load and save the ship. Yet the only way the ship and themselves were going to be saved was to deal with the true problem, and that problem was Jonah. In order for a believer to find strength and comfort through a storm, first thing for a believer, if they're going through a storm, is to make sure that there's no sin in their life, because God's trying to get their attention. Second, if there's no sin in their life, but yet they're still in this storm, they need to make sure that they are not leaving something undone before God. I.e., an example, God's revealed something to them, yet they haven't dealt with it. All right, I'll say it again. If you're in a storm and you feel like God's dealing with you about something, and you just feel like all these things, I've heard preachers and I've heard Christians say when they get a bad stomach bug and they're thrown up and they're in a bad way, some Christians are like, Lord, did I do anything wrong? God, is there anything I need to make right? Is this coming from you, Lord? Am I being chastised? Some will say, well, God will never let you get sick. And that's false too, brethren, because you're not. Paul left, who was it? Trophimus. He left Trophimus sick. God, listen, brethren. God will allow you to get sick. God will not only allow you to get sick, God will allow you to die in one of your sicknesses. For God's purposes. Do you understand, brethren? God allowed Stephen to be stoned. How do you explain that? Was Stephen in the will of God? Yes. I believe he was in the perfect will of God. I believe Stephen couldn't have been more in the will of God. Stephen got an opportunity to preach to a bunch of people in the will of God, giving God's message. And guess what at the end? He had a great altar call and like 4,000 got saved and they went on rejoicing. No, they gnashed upon him with their teeth and they stoned him with stones. And the one consenting unto it was a man that God later on used to write most of the Testament and do a great work for him. God allowed his child to be stoned to death. So you don't think God might allow you to be sick? That's a false doctrine that's going around today, saying that this health, wealth, gospel nonsense. No, it's a false doctrine. And you're not reading your Bibles. God will allow a bad thing to happen in a Christian's life for God's purposes. That's what we're talking about. Was Job in God's perfect will? I believe Job was. I believe Job was a godly man. Actually, God says there was no man like him at that time on the earth. God said there was no man at that time like Job on the earth. And you know what God said? Satan come up to him and said, yeah, if you lift your hand, he'll curse you in your face. God says, okay, you can go ahead and do this to him. Go ahead. God gave permission for Satan to buffet Job. God allowed it. God allowed, brethren, please hear me. God allowed for Job to lose all 10 of his children and have his wife basically turn her back on him. God allowed that man to lose 10 kids. And if that wasn't enough, some time goes by and Job might be like, that was rough. That I couldn't imagine what Job went through with that. God still had such faith in Job, Satan comes back up again and says, God's like, see, hey. Brethren, think about this. Do you think God takes joy in things? I do. I believe God takes joy in his children that stay steadfast through the most hardest trials. And God, I believe God takes joy and glory. I believe God took joy and glory when Satan comes back up there. And I don't know how it all went, but I almost be like, God's like, yeah, see, I told you. That man loves me. And you know how happy that makes God, and yet how mad that made Satan? Think about that for a moment. It's almost like God, and I'm not being irreverent, but God's like, check in my column. And Satan says, okay. But if you touch his body, he'll curse you. God says, okay, you can touch his body, you just can't kill him. And see how much Satan hates us? Satan's like the first advantage. If God lifts the hedge, Satan's like, I'll pummel on him, I'll kill him. If God didn't lift, God lift that hedge there over Job, and Satan went down there, gave him boils from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's scraping it with pottery. He's sitting there in misery and dust and ashes, and God is allowing it the whole time. So for a Christian today, think that God will never let anything bad happen to us. You're not reading your Bible. You know why God lets bad things happen to us sometimes? To bring him glory and honor and say, listen, you are my trophy. You're my trophy. Because through you and your faith in me, I can show the world how wonderful I am, because you're not giving up on me and you're still continuing to be faithful. Look, we walk by faith and not by sight. And when we go through trials and we go through temptations and we come out on the other side, as Satan tries to destroy us and push us down, and God gives us the strength and we don't quit, that is the glory of God. That is a trophy on God's shelf to Satan, saying, see? They went through all this stuff and they didn't forsake me. They went through all this stuff and they didn't reject me. They went through all this stuff and I helped them through it, and they never quit. God will allow things. And here God allows this wind to come through. But as God's letting this wind come through, he's trying to get their attention. He's trying to get their attention. And sometimes things happen in our life to get our attention. And back to Job, I wasn't planning on talking about this tonight, but you know what God was doing in Job's life? Job was a righteous man. He eschewed evil. He did what was right. He was a godly man. There was none like him on the earth. And he still wasn't perfect. And God knew that. So God, in his infinite mercy and grace, says, I'm going to continue to grow Job. I'm going to get Job even more perfect and complete. But the only way I can get Job to this point is to put him through these things. And Job almost lost it there. He had that plane, but he almost lost it there in a moment through that storm. But he held firm. But Job got into a situation where he began to justify himself rather than God. And that's where he started getting into trouble. And God looked at him and said, gird yourselves up, loins like a man. Come here, I got to talk to you for a moment. And Job did right. Job humbled down. Job accepted it. And guess what? The latter end of Job was better than the beginning. Job received more blessings at the end because he stayed faithful to his Lord. So God brings this wind away. You see, our failure to do right may cause others to cast away or put off items that are beneficial and useful to them. Listen, these items that they're throwing into the sea, they're useful items. They're useful tools. Whatever those wares that they're throwing into the ocean, those wares have a purpose for that ship or some type of work that they use those things for. But see, by Jonah's disobedience to God, they're now useless and they're sitting on the Mediterranean Sea. You see, others that aren't doing right may cause others to put such beneficial things to the side, such as Bible reading and study, prayer, giving, church attendance, faithfulness, godly witness, charity. You see, people are reading our lives. People are reading our lives and people are taking off of us as Christians of what is important in your life as a Christian. Others are watching you, whether you realize they're watching you. They're watching you. And they're seeing how you react to situations. And they're watching what you put the emphasis on. And they're seeing, okay, what do you think is important? What do you think is not important? And they, some individuals, whether right or wrong, are basing what they do off of what you do. So it's important to stay faithful to the Lord. Now, not only do they lose wares, not only are they going off course, but there's a potential for death here. Think about this for a moment, how hard Jonah is. Jonah's down there in that ship. That's when, and this man's asleep. He is asleep. These guys are tossing stuff overboard. The ship's about to be broken, and he's asleep. Now, look at verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. If so be that God will think upon us and that we perish not. And they said, Everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots and a lot fell upon Jonah. Verse 8, Then they said unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou, and what is thy country, and of what people art thou? He says in verse 9, and he said to them, I am an Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. This is very interesting. Just as Jonah's not willing to warn a great city of the judgment of God coming upon them, so we see that he's not even willing to pray for those on a ship that's about to sink. These men are praying to their gods. They're doing everything they can to try to even save the ship. So Jonah not only cares nothing about the people in Nineveh, he cares nothing about these people on this ship. Jonah shows absolutely no concern for those who are lost around him. All Jonah cares about is his selfish ways. Jonah's a selfish man. He's sitting there, they're casting lots, they're fretting, they're worrying, they're trying to figure out why this evil's upon them. Jonah's sitting there, he won't even tell them. Jonah knows what's going on. Jonah makes them cast lots. And finally, when they ask him, what's going on here? He says, yep, this is what's going on. He says, I'm a Hebrew. He says, I fear God. Ain't that an interesting statement? Look there at verse number 9. And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord. What's also interesting, he says, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. You know, Jonah states that he fears the God of heaven, but does he really? Do you think he really fears the God of heaven? I don't think he does. I think if he really feared the God of heaven, he would do what the God of heaven, whom he fears, he would do what he's asking him to do. His actions are saying something different than what's coming out of his mouth. I'm almost done tonight, but please get this. Jonah's saying the right words to these people, but his actions are showing something completely different from what he's saying he believes. James 1:22-24 says, But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Who are you deceiving your own selves? Jesus said, This people draweth nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Brethren, I don't care what comes out of our mouths. What are your actions saying? Well, I'm a Christian, I love God. That's fine, that's good. I'm glad you can say that, but what are you living? What is your action showing? How is your life exhibiting what your words are stating? Jonah says, I fear God, the Lord of heaven and earth. I fear him. But he's sitting down in the bottom of a ship, sleeping, running from God. And the ship's getting broken up. They're losing things. And Jonah says, yeah, but I fear God. Luke 6:46 says this. Jesus says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? John 14:23 says, Jesus answered and said to them, if any man love me, he will keep my words. If any man love me, he will keep my words. He'll do what the word of God says. Saying you love God means nothing unless you do what God says. Don't just give God lip service. Proverbs 14:27 says, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. You know, it's also an interesting statement that Jonah made here. Look what he says after he says, I fear the Lord. He says, I fear the Lord, the God of heaven. But look all he says, which made the sea and the dry land. Well, didn't God make a lot more than that?
Yeah.
What was one of the most important thing? If the most important thing I believe that God made during creation was man. Jonah mentions nothing to these mariners that I'm a Hebrew, I fear the God of heaven, he said. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which made the sea and the dry land. How about telling them that God also made you? Why did he just say the sea and the dry land? He kept it generic. He didn't get specific. Because he really doesn't care. You know what? When God gets specific, when you care about something and God really cares about it, I guess God's going to get specific in your life. Hold your hand there real quick and look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12. You start wanting to draw nigh to God, he's going to break out the scalpel knife. All right, he's going to break out a scalpel knife is a precision knife or whatever you want to call it for surgery. Look what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. I think I said chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse number 12. For the word of God, that's the scriptures, lower W. For the word of God is quick, which means it's alive. All right, for the word of God is quick, and look what it's alive and powerful. So not only is the word of God alive and it's powerful, it's sharper and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. And look what it says, and is a discerner. The word of God, quick, powerful, sharp as a two-edged sword, is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God, when you allow God to work in your life, it's like that scalpel knife that gets right down in there to where the problem's at, the heart. And that I'm telling you, that book right there, it'll read you. This book right here will deal with you. I've said it before, you can be reading about the begats, and God's like, you got a bad spirit about you right now. You need to make this right with this person. You need to do this over here. You didn't handle yourself correct here, and you're reading the begats. It's because God's word is pinpoint, and God desires to get to the heart of the issue. Not just the surface, the heart. Why are you doing what you're doing? God knows if we have ulterior motives. God knows our heart. God knows our thoughts. And this book, when you start, I believe this. I really do believe this. I believe when you're dealing with individuals, especially when you're dealing with somebody about salvation, or continually don't drop the sword. That's why it's so important to memorize scripture. The Bible says, the Bible says, the Bible says. Not what you think. The Bible says. The Bible says here, this verse says this, this, don't drop the sword, because that sword will get right into what matters, and that's the heart. And when you start reading this book and you start quoting scripture, you watch out. Devils hate when you start bringing out this book. Devils hate, I believe, even pure and holy singing. And you're going to start seeing people start to squirm. I've seen it before. People start squirming, they start doing this, they got to go up and do that, they can't. Because things are being dealt with, and whatever's going on in their life, they don't like it. Because it's the word of God. How did Jesus deal with the devil? It is written. It is written. It is written. Jesus, who's God manifested in the flesh, could have told the devil, get out of here. He didn't. He says, it's written, it's written, it's written. You're dealing with people, it's written, it's written, it's written. Give me Bible and give me more than one verse. Give me Bible and give me more than one verse. The Bible is specific. God is specific. Jonah here is giving a generic answer to these men. God not only created the dry land and the sea, he also created mankind, who God has a heart for. God cares for mankind, and that's why God wanted Jonah to go to Nineveh. I'm going to close with that tonight. God cared for Nineveh. Nineveh was a great city. Nineveh was a huge, vast city with, some scholars say, up to 600,000 souls there. The Bible mentions 120,000 people in Nineveh. It was a big city, and God had a heart for that city. God saw the wickedness come up, and God says, I'm going to give them a chance to amend their ways. A city that wasn't Jewish. This is a Gentile country. This is a Gentile city. But guess what? God's the God of the Gentiles as well, of the Jews. He's the God of the Jews as well as the Gentiles. And here God's trying to get a Gentile city to wake up and see that he's the creator of all mankind. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity this evening. Lord, thank you for your word. And God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, help us, dear God, to always, Lord, have a sensitivity. Lord, help us to have a sensitivity to where, Lord, you might be doing a little bit of cutting in our life for the purpose of, though it may be painful, dear God, though it may hurt, Lord, but it's for the purpose of drawing closer to you. Lord, help us not to run from your presence. Help us not to run from things that you may be trying to do in our life, dear God. Help us to take it, Lord, and be faithful in it, Lord, and know that Lord, you desire nothing but for good in our life, even though that good may come by a painful way. Lord, help us to learn from Jonah. Lord, help us to glean all we can from this little book in the Bible. But I believe there's a lot there, Lord, and I pray you'd help us as we go forward in it. And Lord, I pray you just receive the glory and honor, Lord. Help us just to stay faithful, to continue to fight the good fight of faith and to love you more in these last days that we're living in. And we'll give you the glory and honor. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.